Hello.
Hello, Tony.
How are you?
Man, if I was any better, I'd be illegal. Hey, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Man, we got you got us hooked up in your studio tonight, looks like.
Yeah, this is where I operate out of for now, but it's going to be changing soon. We have another kid on the way. This is the third bedroom, so I'm going to have to move on out of here, and I think I'm going to have to build a studio in the basement, and that's going to be costly. So,
well, man, I got the hat, but you got the beard, man. I'm kind of wanting one of them. How long does it take to grow that?
This has been since mid-September. I was keeping it shorter, and then I started one of my listeners, he actually owns a beard supply company where he does oils and balms, and he reached out to me. He said he wanted to do a collaboration, and I said, all right, sounds good, because I used to have a really big beard, and I just decided I was going to grow it back, and I'm enjoying it. And so people are enjoying seeing me on Instagram with the big beard now, and it's good promotion for the beard supplies.
Well, heck yeah, man. Hey, well, welcome to the show here. A few years ago, we had Wes Germer on the program, and you were involved with the Sasquatch Chronicles, or you started there reading your bio section. Let's rewind in your life, Tony, and I always like to know, as you just working on your discovery of the truth, and that's what it is. You're searching for the truth, and you're gathering truth nuggets and disseminating it out through your podcast and through your website, YouTube. Commendable. And we need more of that. But was there any defining moment for you that what we are seeing or this life in general, you know, just say, wait a minute, something's off here. Something, was there a defining moment or was it a gradual kind of turning?
You know, I think that for me, it all circles around, my true salvation, to be honest with you. I was raised in the church, and my entire life I was growing up, I said I was a Christian. I even went to Bible college and pursued ministry on a certain level. I wound up dropping out. If I didn't drop out, they're going to kick me out because I wasn't a good student, but, I got married young, and me and my wife went through a lot of hard times with our marriage because of me. And I one day decided that I was going to try being a nicer person. I know I'm a truck driver by trade, and I noticed that I was one of the nastiest guys in the room. And so I didn't like that, and I wanted to be just a kinder, nicer person. So I decided I was going to start trying to be a nicer person now that my marriage was all straightened out. I was dedicated to my marriage, and I was like, okay, now I'm just going to be a nice, good person. But I never thought about doing it with God. At this point in my life, I really just kind of walked away from God. And one day we were supposed to go to my friend's funeral, or not my friend's wedding. And the same day was her uncle's funeral. And so at first I was going to tell her, you know, I told her, how about I go to the wedding? You go to the funeral, come meet me at the reception. And she didn't like that idea. So I went to the funeral reluctantly because it was going to be in a church and all this stuff. I just didn't want anything to do with it. And mind you, I was sitting in this service, and her other uncle is a Baptist pastor, and he gets up and he starts preaching the gospel. And I'm sitting there and I'm getting angry because I've heard a million times before. I was raised on. I went to Bible college, and it just didn't ring true to me at the time. And it's so insane. I'm sitting there and I'm getting really angry. He's standing up there preaching, and I'm just like, you're making a fool of yourself. You're embarrassing yourself in front of all these people. You need to stop, man. And just in the middle of my anger, I felt God speak to me. And I've never had that experience in my entire life before, but the Holy Spirit, it wasn't like an audible voice. It was like that inner voice speaking to my, like the Holy Spirit speaking to my spirit. And, God just said to me, you don't need to change to follow me. Just follow me and I'll change you. And those words melted me. And it took everything. I didn't cry, but it took everything inside of me to really not cry on the spot there. And I walked out of that church a changed man, really. Like I sat down in the car. My wife's asking me if I'm okay, because she from the walk from the church to the car, she's like, there's something different here. And
wow.
My life changed dramatically that day, March 29th, 2013. And for me, it was like a very instant change. I stopped. The anger just went away. I had this overwhelming desire to study the word. and get into my Bible and get to know my Creator. That was my whole thing. I just wanted to know my Creator. And that's where a lot of the stuff started taking off, because once I lined up with God on a spiritual level, all these other interests that I had in my life, like Bigfoot and the paranormal, I still had those interests, and I started, you know, looking into those interests through a biblical lens, or just my new worldview now. And it kind of took me off in a whole nother direction, but I really don't think that I would be where I am right now with what I do if it wasn't for my salvation that day.
Mm. Wow, what an amazing story. And, you know, you had been a good person to be in our live chat last week, because I just flat out asked him. We ended up with our guest talking about the reality of Jesus, and I just simply said, anybody in live chat, have you had a direct, recognizable of a certain change because Jesus came into your life? And then the chat lit up, and the answer was yes. And, man, you would have been a good one to put in there. And, by the way, I did not know that about you, and I like the way – I like your foundation there. And then in a kind of a similar way, well, just say about your website, you're not preaching on your website.
No.
And obviously you opened up your podcast to confessionals to people, what I imagine have a lot of different point of view. But let me ask you something about that, because I've had people on the show, particularly some UFO researchers and that, that they say they if they're in a UFO conference per se and they mention religion or God, they instantly, there's a change, like maybe if they're with somebody, they'll want to just leave, or they'll disrespect them, or they'll say get to like that, you know, like that kind of thing. Have you gotten that?
I get it a lot digitally online. I get emails a lot of times, and the funny thing is with, so I'm an outspoken Christian. I am who I am, and I don't hide it. And so, but when I'm on the show, I talk to people from all different aspects of life. Mm-hmm. And people don't know this, okay? But I'll say, I don't think I've ever said this publicly, but I've had Satanists on my show. I've had witches on my show. I will talk to anybody, and I'm not afraid to talk to anybody. And the funny thing is, about 95% of the time, I don't bring up my own worldview, my faith, and things like that, unless the guest brings it up first. And if they want to take the conversation in that direction, we'll go there. And when I get emails from people like Satanists and witches and stuff, and they'll get mad at me for talking about God. And I'm like, listen, I'm not following you. You're following me. I didn't ask you to listen to my show. You're the one who hit play and continue to listen throughout the whole thing. So if you got a problem with what I'm saying, I suggest you just don't listen. And the funny thing is, though, if I have somebody on the show that, you know, your typical Christian would say, well, preach the word to them and preach the gospel to them, and I don't on air, I get angry, nasty emails from Christians as well saying, you missed a golden opportunity to preach the word. And I say to them, I say, hold on a second. I talk to people 30, 40 minutes sometimes before an interview, and then after the interview is over, we don't just hang up. I know it sounds like that, but I spend 30, 40 minutes talking to people after the interview. You don't know what I said to them when we weren't on air, and it's none of your business. So just chill out, you know? And so, you know, I get it from all ends, and I'm going to the Ohio Bigfoot Conference this year, and last time I was there was in 2017. It was a few months after I started the podcast, and people were walking up to me and introducing themselves to me, saying they recognized me by my voice. And I was like, dang, like the show just started. And so now the show's gotten a lot bigger, and I'm predicting that there's going to be a bigger crowd there this time that knows who I am. And I'm very interested to see who wants to go there first with me, because I think because I am a Christian and I speak, you know, bluntly about it on the show, I think, and you might be able to understand where I'm coming from with this. You say you're a Christian and people automatically put like this image on you where it's like, oh, he's soft. He's a pushover. And I what they don't know is that, like what I just told you before we started talking about this, I was one of the nastiest guys you can meet before I got saved. And that's still in me. Like that edge is still in me. And I'm just, I'm wondering who's going to be the first person to really test me when I'm out in public. So we'll see.
Well, I tell you what, man, I might be your doppelganger there without the beard, because I can assure you that I've had some atheists, witches, warlocks on this program. But what I found is that, you know, you can go in a room, you can turn the light on, but you can't turn the darkness on. So there's something about the power of agreement. And if somebody agrees to come on this program, then they're agreeing to what I represent or what the show represents, which, though it's not manifestly demonstrated on the website, it is a Christian point of view, because God is the only explanation as to why we're all here, why we're even going to be talking about what we're talking about in a few minutes. It's going to tie right into that. You can't exclude God out of the constellation of anomalies that are out there and unexplainable things, especially when you start getting into dissecting where we're from, how we would have come to be to begin with, or how this great universe could have be placed here like it is. But here's what I found, Tony, and I know that you found this too, that if you talk to somebody long enough, you're going to get a little grain of truth. And I was basically saying this earlier before you even come on the show, that the grain of truth can come from the most unexpected people. And if we close our minds or attitudes from reaching out to people who are diametrically opposed to everything we stand for, then one, we're both worse off for that, because we're all putting this thing together. Everybody's trying to figure this thing out. And I guarantee you, every vision of heaven or hell, for that matter, is going to be, I believe it's going to be completely different from what I ever heard. Every near-death experience I've ever heard, I just think it's going to be completely different. So we can't have that self-righteous attitude that we know the truth. But that truth does continue to point in a specific direction without fail. And one of those, I got to shut up here because I'm trying to get you on the show.
No, it's fine.
I feel like I'm on your show. the alien thing is, it always points to, there's somebody must have created them too. They must be here for a reason. They must be interacting with us for a reason. And so, you know, so I'll talk to people. I'll talk to anybody that has an opinion, and I'll just try to glean the truth there. All right. So what you're saying is, then, Tony, that you had an experience, but how does that lead you into researching what you do on the confessionals?
Well, I would say I'm more of a conversationalist, where I learn by talking with other people, and I've learned that this world is far stranger than we can imagine and what we've been told. Kind of off of what you just said about heaven, I agree with you. And I think it's one of those things where, like, God is so big that we can't possibly think we can contain within our own imaginations and with our own verbiage of how we describe things. So what you hear in a near-death experience and things like that, is that person's experience, and you take it for what it is. But even their recollection of what they experienced is lacking when it comes to how enormous God is and how outside of our realm he is. And that's kind of how I approach a lot of this stuff, where it's like, I hear people tell me stories on a weekly basis. Like today I had two people, tomorrow I have two people. I usually do 4 to 5 interviews a weekend, and every single person's bringing another story, their own personal story, the aspect of how they view it. And I feel like that every person has a story that we can learn from. Whether I agree with how they view their experience or how they view the world around them is irrelevant to the fact that they had an experience and we can learn something from that. I use this example a lot on the show, but if you were to have an atheist and a theist in the same room, and they both experienced the same exact paranormal experience, like I'm a theist and there's an atheist in here with me, we turn the lights out and something crazy happens, we're going to walk out of this room describing that experience very differently, because we both came into the experience with different worldviews. I believe in a God and a higher power. This atheist does not. So when they explain it, it's going to be a very different story, even though we experience the same exact thing. And that's why when it comes to these kind of topics and stuff, I don't really care about our differences and opinions on how this all works. I just want to know, did you have an experience? Because I think we can learn from it that.
Mm-hmm. You know, to finish my my thought earlier though on that on the UFO, and I was saying how it all ties into God in that. I don't know how many people have told me that possessions or abductions have stopped at people using the name of Jesus. So the alien phenomena points back to God, you know. And so, I mean, and it's inevitable. And there's I've had non-believers tell me that, too, in their research of alien abductions, that the name of Jesus. But I have never yet heard anyone say that the name of Allah would stop that. Let me just go ahead and give a shout out to the new additional people in our live chat, Mickey V, Raul Sanchez, Scotty, Life Station Express, Justin Pollock, Azur, and Peter all jumped in the live chat as well. If you have a question for Tony Merkel, you can put your question in the live chat or you can send us through the link at the top of the website. It says guest question. That'll come right here to the studio. So, Tony, we're going to be talking about, just various type monsters, you know, your basic doppelganger, your basic Bigfoot, Sasquatch, and even some skinwalker action. The search for that or the study of that, how does that sort of square with a worldview that says there is a creator? I mean, obviously you're not saying that whole thing can't be because there's a God. Are you saying that they both exist?
Yeah. So depending on what topic and what creature or whatever that we're talking about, it all depends on what kind of thing I'm going to say. So if we're talking about Sasquatch, I believe it just very rudimentary basics. I believe that Sasquatch is personal opinion here. I don't know if I'm right. I'm very fine if I'm wrong. This is just from what I've gathered. I personally feel that Sasquatch is a remnant of a type of Nephilim creature. I don't think that they're Nephilim. I think that they are a type. They come from the same origins. I think that when you have in Genesis 6:4, fallen angels having sex with women, and I say that because it says it in the Bible, but I do believe that angels have the ability to transform their bodies clearly. So therefore, I think that angels could also transform themselves into a woman if they wanted to have sex with a man. And that's the kind of perversion that we're talking about here when it comes to Satan and the fallen angels. What I get from that is this, that in Genesis 6, it's a very brief description. There's not a whole lot of detail. Mm-hmm. I think that Moses wrote Genesis. I think when he was writing this down, I think he was writing down kind of like common knowledge. I think the people of his day understood, yeah, Nephilim are real. We're dealing with it, or we dealt with it. You know, I don't think he had to go into great detail, but in the book of Enoch, the first book of Enoch, it goes in a lot more detail, and it's actually written like Enoch was writing it as it happened around him. It was like current events. And so, but in the book of Enoch, it tells the story of Genesis 6, but it also says that not only did the fallen angels have sex with women, but they also had sex with animals. They wanted to pervert all God's creation, including plants and animals. So I think that Sasquatch might be a remnant of that. How they survived the flood is beyond me. Every once in a while I think of something and I'm like, oh, that's actually a good idea. That actually makes sense. And then I forget what it is. Mm-hmm. Because I don't have time to write it down when I'm driving the truck. But one of the things I can tell you is that in Numbers 13:33, we have another sighting, a pop-up of the Nephilim. And that's post-flood. And so it clearly somehow they survived. And so that's what I mean by like Sasquatch. But when we're talking about skinwalkers, skinwalkers is more witchcraft, which is very real. Mm-hmm. Witchcraft, again, in the Bible, God forbids us to perform witchcraft, like necromancy, summoning of spirits. And it's not that God is saying for us to not do something that's impossible. He's saying that it's very possible, but it's not good for us, and he doesn't want us to do it. Mm-hmm. I live in the Philadelphia area. God's not going to tell me to not go down to Philadelphia on Monday morning and pick up a skyscraper with my bare hands and throw it into the Atlantic Ocean because it's impossible. And I think that God's not going to waste his time saying things that are impossible. But the fact is, throughout the entire Bible, numerous times, God has instructed us not to to perform these things. And it's not because it's impossible, but it's very possible. So when you have somebody who is now a Christian and they are saying that they once were was a Satanist or a witch and they perform witchcraft and they tell you these stories, they're being serious. And I have, I have stories that have confirmed to me that this stuff is real. Some of it is very personal with people that I could never betray and tell their story. But some of it I could tell, like when I had my own personal experience with a Satanist at his house for 3 hours. And this was when I didn't even, this is before the podcast, I didn't even know anything about this stuff like I do now. And I'm still on baby mode when it comes to understanding all this stuff. But I was just on fire for God. I wasn't doing the podcast thing, so I was very basic in my knowledge of this stuff. This guy invites me to his house. Turns out he's a Satanist. And for 3 hours, I went through the biggest spiritual warfare I have ever been through in my entire life, and it kicked my butt. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you can't get your butt kicked, especially if you're unprepared. And I was very, very unprepared that day. Mm. Not that I was possessed, not that I lost my faith or anything like that, but I felt it. Spiritually, I felt it. And I didn't even understand what was happening to me. That's the thing. Like, I left his house feeling like my spiritual butt got beat up today, and I didn't even understand what was happening to me. Mm. Like, I was in the middle of a battle that I didn't even know I was in. And so that's what I mean by the skinwalkers and witchcraft. Mm-hmm. Like, that's straight witchcraft. Shamanism is witchcraft. And yeah, it's real.
Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of allegory. That's okay. Wow. So, you know, now I mentioned this before. There's a story in the Bible, Tony. It says that somebody who didn't know Christ went up to a demon and was going to try to cast him out. And the demon says, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but you, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't get that feeling there that they were.
No, this was such a cool, like, it, yeah, I got my butt handed me, but it, like, hindsight, it was a cool experience because of the power of God and what God did that day and that week leading up to it. Listen, I met this guy at a delivery. I was doing deliveries and I was always talking to him about just life. And this guy got to sharing his life story with me, and it's one of the most dramatic life stories I had ever heard. And I told him at the end of him telling me his story over weeks, like at one point you could tell you were getting to the end, and I said to him, so what's next, man? Like, what's the next chapter of your life? And he said to me with a very straight face, he said, I don't know, I'm going to probably blow my brains out. Well, and I said to him, like, the Christian, the God-fearing man of me kicked in, and I'm like, I got to step up and say something here. And I just told him, I said, man, you don't want to do that. God's got plans for your life. And when I said that, something clicked in his head. Like, he kind of looked at me funny. And then he started asking me questions about God as if he never heard of God. And it was, I thought it was a good conversation. He follows me out to my truck and he's like, hey man, would you mind, you know, meeting with me outside of work to talk more about this? And I'm like, yeah, of course. Like, I mean, this is like a layup, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, gift wrapped, right? And so after that conversation, I'm driving my truck and I'm praying and I'm just like, God, thank you so much for this experience. And please just prepare me for this Saturday, because that was a Tuesday. And on that Saturday, I was going to his house to talk to him about God. And I'm praying and I call my pastor up that day and I just tell him what happened, because I was really excited about it. I was like, man, this is gonna be great. Like, this guy's like pretty much chomping at the bit to find out who Jesus Christ is. Like, I mean, how much more simple could it get, right? And so I call my pastor up, and my pastor told me that during his devotions that day, he felt God instructing him to pray for me because I was going to have a divine encounter. And I was like, there it is. Like, even God knew this was going to happen. Awesome, right? And so wow. As the week went on, I started feeling the Holy Spirit speak to me, just like he did that day when I was in that church. And I felt the Holy Spirit preparing me for a demonic experience, a demonic encounter. And I didn't understand where this was coming from because, mind you, I wasn't doing the things that I do now. So my education level was so low in this stuff. And I was like, this guy, it was such a good experience. Like, how could this be a bad, you know, demonic thing? And then I started thinking, like, okay, I'm going to be talking to this guy about God. And obviously Satan and there's demons that don't want this guy knowing about God, right? So that's what I was thinking, right? And so I tell my pastor, I stopped by the church to get a Bible from the church that Saturday. And I tell my pastor what I was feeling. And so he tells me, you know, basically the same thing. He's like, you know, God, you know, knows that there's going to be demonic influences when you're preaching the word to somebody. And so but I told him, I said, man, I think this is something deeper and darker. Like, as the week went on, I just started feeling more and more feeling like this was going to be something. So I show up to his house and I 11 o'clock and I get to the front door. I knock on it and it's like a pause. And then the door opens up. Like, it seemed like the door opened up by itself. And I kind of peek my head in the house and I'm like, hello. And he kind of steps out from behind the door and he goes, you showed up. And I said, yeah, man, of course I showed up. We made an appointment. I showed up. And he said, and this is something that I always say, it should have tipped me off. He said, most of the time people don't show up. And I should have said to myself, what do you mean by most of the time people don't show up? But me, in my innocence of the whole thing, I was just like, okay. It's he invites me in. I walk into the house and I feel God instructing me to be aware of the bookshelf that I was walking by. I didn't know why.
Okay.
And so I go to sit down at the table and God actually tells me which chair to sit in, which was between the window and the table, not the table and the door. He sits in the chair between the table and the door. And long story, I could go on and on. Long story short, this guy eventually tells me that there's seven ghosts in the house. He started telling me about how the ghosts got there and how it had something to do with the basement. And the basement door was behind him, the door that God told me not to sit in front of. And he said to me, do you want to come down in the basement so I could show you? And I said, nah, man, we're going to stay here. I'm good, you know? And at this point, I'm starting to feel like, okay, there's something going on here. I didn't understand what it was. But as soon as he started talking about the ghosts, because he started off by saying, do you believe in ghosts? And I was like, yes, I believe in ghosts. What are you talking about? And that's when it all started kicking off. And we started talking about God, and he basically was chomping at the bit for salvation, right? That's what he made it sound like. And so I said to him, man, do you want to pray and ask Jesus Christ into your life right now? And he said, yes, we did. We prayed together. And afterwards, he acted like I'd never saw anybody act before. When I was in college, even though I wasn't truly following the Lord, I was playing the game and I was going into Philadelphia and local cities and actually doing street ministry. And I've seen people accept Jesus Christ in their life. I've seen their reactions and praying with people, how they react. This guy acted in a way that I never saw before. He actually stood up from the table after the prayer, started shaking really hard. And he said, I feel this energy rushing through my body, but he's yelling it. And then he says to me, can I give you a hug? And I said, sure. I mean, I was thinking like, okay, God bless you, brother. We hug, you know? And he comes in full frontal hug and just squeezes me and pushes his entire front on me, puts his head on my shoulder and does this long dramatic exhale, just this. And I was like, this is weird. He does it two other times. You'd think I would have left by now, but I didn't. We're talking about God and everything. And two other times he says to me that he feels this energy. He does it. And then he hugs me. The third time I said, man, I got to go. But I actually just skipped a very important part of the story. Mm-hmm. He said to me before the third hug, he says to me, I got to tell you something. I said, what's that? And he said, I'm a Satanist. I'm a member of the Church of Satan. And he gets up, walks over to the bookshelf where I felt God telling me to just be aware of the bookshelf. He unstacks some books and then takes out like two or three books, puts them down in front of me. First time I ever saw in my entire life satanic literature. And he said, I want you to take these out of my house for me. And I was like, okay, I'll take them out of your house for you. I put my Bible on top of the books as like an authoritative gesture. And I said, I'm going to burn them. And when I said I was going to burn them, he yells at me, no. And I was like, man, listen, I know I'm in your house, but don't yell at me. You know, that's how I felt about it. I was like, dude, you need to chill out. And then he did the shaking thing again, saying he felt the energy, wanted to hug me. After that, I was like, I'm out. Like, I was already irritated because I got yelled at. I don't like being yelled at. And so I took the satanic books out of the house, right? And here's where I think that I really felt, like I told you earlier how I felt like when I was leaving this guy's house, that I felt like I had my butt handed to me. Mm-hmm. Well, I was taking the battle with me. Like, I think that he attached something to these books. And he asked me to take him out of my house, and I think he wanted me to take him home to my house, which I didn't. I threw him away in a dumpster. But yeah, that's like the short version. Like, it takes me usually like 30 to 45 minutes to tell that whole story. But yeah, I mean, I take that all out, take it all full circle. Yeah, I think witchcraft is real. So
it was enough of a story to scare the crap out of me. you keep talking. I'm gonna have to get salt and holy water and
I hear you,
man.
I hear you.
But yeah, I mean, so man, you talk about some interaction with some demonic stuff. I mean, wow. You know, by the way, I may have to call your program anyway, because you know I've had some and been in some precarious situations and interacted with. Well, let's just say various entities and such, but, you know, fortunately, not recently, though. Let's get to a couple questions that have been kind of piling up on us here, Tony. For one, this is kind of a basic question for you. It says, hey, what kind of truck do you drive?
A Mack. I drive a Mack, and I have two Ford Rangers. One's a 1993, which I drive myself to work, and then the other one's mm-hmm. a 2019, which my wife gets to drive. So mm-hmm. she gets the new one with the kid and all that.
I see in our live chat comment from Rose says one demon grabbed me and tried to throw me down a hill and kill me. And a lot of people have stories where some unknown entity sort of attacks them. When I was young, I was laying down on a chair, and I'm telling you, Tony, some entity sat on my chest and was trying to kill me. And at that time, I don't share this story too often, but I'll share it with you. Sure. I wasn't religious. My parents were definitely never said God, love, peace, anything. As far long as I knew them, I was alone by myself. But one day I had a quarter, and I went to the laundromat, and I put it in a machine. It got one of them little plastic bubbles that got little toys in them. You ever seen them?
Yeah.
They got very sick. Well, inside of this one was a Bible that it was like a 3D, and you look up, and I could see the Lord's Prayer. And so I kind of, you know, that's the only education I had. And so I sort of memorized that. I figured, like, man, you know, I could be in a dangerous spot sometime. But I was. And so I just started saying that Lord's Prayer that I knew, and this thing left me. That kind of goes back to what I said in the first hour, that there doesn't seem to be too many names out there that can dispel evil so quickly as the name of Jesus or bring God into your situation. And there's got to be a reason for that. I don't think we're projecting. I think there's a reality that's scaring the, you know, as I said, you scared the crap out of me with your story, but I think there are some things that we scare the crap out of the evil people as well. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, we got to be prepared. All right, back to the questions. This is from Peter Birdsall. Tony, do you believe there is a genetic bloodline connection with the Nephilim and all hybrid so-called mythological creatures?
I think that there definitely is a bloodline in play here, because I believe that they still exist today. So there's definitely a bloodline as far as I'm concerned. And when it comes to the mythological creatures, you know, I would say that maybe they're a Nephilim type, you know, like, because here's the thing. I mean, I play with these ideas, and I don't know if it's real or not, but it's or true, I should say. But you hear Sasquatch, okay? So underneath my thought is, okay, well, if you have a Sasquatch, maybe that's a fallen angel with a gorilla, right? Mm-hmm. Dog man, fallen Ooh. Angel with a wolf. Mm-hmm. Trying to think of other creatures, but I just think that there's these cryptids. I think are probably a perversion. I think it was Satan trying to create his own bloodline type. I think Satan was trying to mm-hmm. Disrupt God's bloodlines and for the coming Messiah. Mm-hmm. I think that Satan was trying to mimic what God did, because Satan can't truly create anything out of nothing like God can. Mm-hmm. So I think he was doing the best he could with what he had, which was an army of fallen angels willing to commingle with God's creation and disrupt the DNA. I think that Satan wanted to, and the fallen angels wanted to disrupt all of God's creation, humans, plants, animals, as the ultimate diss to God. I think this whole thing goes so deep that I don't think any one of us could fully comprehend it. And the more I read in the scriptures and the more I hear other people teach, the more I'm convinced that even in our own scriptures, just the Bible itself, there are so many things left to be revealed by God. It's incredible.
And it's going to take a lifetime to discover that. That's for daggone sure.
Yeah, we've been at it for a long time.
All right, another question from this is from Put Yahweh First. Do you have any pets?
I have one cat. I was trying to get my wife to agree to getting a dog, but now we have a second kid on the way, so I don't think that's happening anytime soon. But when we got married, we had three cats that I inherited with the marriage, and we're down to, we have one more to go, and then maybe we'll get a dog. So, yeah.
Oh, well, it's good news for our moderator, Jade, who's a cat lover, so I'm sure she's glad to hear from that. All right, Chuck Donald says, do you think heaven is corrupted as well?
No. No, that's God's dwelling place. I don't think there's you know, it's funny that's a good question, because my first reaction is no, but clearly at some point fallen angels happened and they were in heaven and fell. So there was some kind of corruption at one time in heaven. I think that the place that we're going to dwell as Christians, I don't think is corrupt. I think that this whole process of humanity falling, needing a savior, enter Jesus Christ to cover our sins, I think that whole process purifies from that moment to into paradise with God. Clearly, at some point, that's a good question. I've never been asked that question, but clearly at some point there had to have been some kind of corruption because Satan fell, fallen angels fell, and there's a real battle there. So something happened that something went wrong, right? So I guess at some point, at least there was.
All right. Okay. And, Anita says, hey, do you believe in a flat earth?
You know, I don't, I know that there are a lot of, people who argue for the flat earth biblically. And, obviously there's a lot of people scientifically that argue for it as well. And scientifically, I've heard, and biblically, I've looked into, and I wouldn't say studied it or anything like that. I'm a pretty busy guy, but one thing I do have is time on my hands in my truck, so I listen to a lot of podcasts and things like that. And here's the thing: when it comes to the biblical point of view and stuff, I don't know. Have you ever heard of Dr. Michael Heiser?
Oh, yeah, of course, I had him on the show.
Oh, great! I love Dr. Heiser, and I should have him on my show one day.
Absolutely,
but. You know, he's a real big fan of learning what the culture was like when the Bible was written. Like, what was the world like around you when they were writing it? And along with that idea is this idea that, you know, they believed the earth was flat back in those days. They believed that everything revolved around the earth. Since then, science has developed and shown something different. So I believe that in the Bible, there are a lot of things written in the Bible that point to the writer believing the earth was flat. But they were human beings, and I think that they were operating with as best of knowledge as they had, which was their science, which said that the earth was flat. If the earth is flat, it's not going to break my heart. If I'm wrong on that, I'm wrong on it. It's not a big deal to me. Like, I think I'm still going to wake up tomorrow and have to go drive my truck, whether the earth is flat or a globe. You know, like, it just, for me, it's not a big deal. I know there's people who have truly found salvation through believing in the earth being flat. They found God through that. And I think that's amazing. But for me personally, I just think I basically boil it down to the idea that I think the writers of the time that the Bible was written believed the earth was flat because that's what their science said at that point in time.
Well, we were talking about cats and we're talking about spooky things. Let me see if I can pull up a video real quick. Hang on.
Okay.
Stand by. I don't know if you can see this. Let me get it up here. Thank you. Well, those are scary video right there. Cats and creatures, man.
That looks like me when I hear a creepy noise downstairs in my house in the middle of the night and I have to go inspect and make sure nobody's breaking in. I'm peering around the corner like that.
Okay, let's get to another question. Jade says, hey, what's your take on the Skinwalker Ranch stories?
Skinwalker Ranch. Well, I think it's legit. I think that there's something really going on there, and I don't know what it is. So I think the name Skinwalker Ranch is very underselling the situation that's going on there. It's incredibly interesting, all the stuff that's happening, where not only you're having skinwalkers on Skinwalker Ranch, but you're having Sasquatch sightings, portals open up, UFOs, just strange anomalies, things coming out of portals that people have witnessed and seen. I had a guy on just maybe 3-4 weeks ago. His name's Ryan Burns, and he actually had been abducted by a skinwalker. This is before he knew anything about Skinwalker Ranch or anything like that. He was driving in the area, and he picks up what he thought was like a hitchhiker type guy, and he all he remembers is the guy sits down in the car, and as soon as the guy sat down in the car, he felt like this overwhelming sense of emotions come about him, and it was like he said the guy. It was like the guy was like going through his mind and flipping through his memories like a Rolodex.
Wow.
And then he wakes up, hanging out of his car, being woken up by the Navajo police, and he tells them what he remembered, and they kind of almost chuckled, and they're like, "You had a run-in with a skinwalker," and he's like, "A what?" And they tell him a skinwalker, and so he looks into it, he gets fascinated by it, and just so happens, the property that butts up against Skinwalker Ranch, it borders it, went up for sale, and he bought it. And wow. He convinced his wife to buy it, that he could buy it, and he uses it as a research property where he has a property manager there who he has under specific instructions that the property manager is not to shoot at anything he sees on the property. He is supposed to let it go because what he wants is his property to become a safe haven for whatever these anomalies are to happen on his property so he can research it more. And I think he's crazy. I'm like, just shoot them all. But he's fascinated by it. And I'm trying to get him to let me come out to his property because I'm like, listen, if I'm ever going to see any of this crazy stuff, that's probably the best chance I'm ever going to have.
Wow.
I want to see a Sasquatch and all that fun stuff. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
I mean, shoot, man. I also have a guy who I need a call at some point. It's just making the time to do it. He reached out to me and he's not sure if he wants to come on the show, but he and his dad both had experiences with skinwalkers and his dad actually shot one.
Wow.
And and this guy was Navajo. I had another Native American who wasn't Navajo, and I believe he's actually in South Carolina when this happened, but he had a run-in with a skinwalker where he was security on a property, and he sees a man go into like the cornfield or something like that, and what came out wasn't the guy, and it threw him, like it attacked him and threw him like far. And the skinwalker is a very interesting thing, and then obviously Skinwalker Ranch is because it's like it's just that hot spot and like these portals. I mean, the Navajo talk about these portals. Steve Quayle talks about these portals. Tom Horn talks about these portals. And I just want to learn more about it. Mm. It's incredible.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. All right. Live Station Express says, what's your favorite thing to investigate or seek out?
It started out with Bigfoot. Before I was podcasting, I started a Facebook group when I first started looking into this stuff, and it was Bigfoot. It was called Pennsylvania Sasquatch Research. Mm-hmm. And, I just wanted to find 20 people in Pennsylvania that believe these things existed like I did at that point. Mm-hmm. And, eventually the group turned into, a couple thousand people, and I was stunned by it. And then people were asking me, well, what do you think this? And ask me these questions because I was the admin of the group. I'm like, I don't know. I'm here to learn myself. Like, I have no idea. And wow. So everything kind of started out with Sasquatch. During that process, I was looking into alternate things. Like, I was thinking, like, what could Sasquatch be? And that's how I started thinking about Nephilim. And I started going down that road, and then my friend, well, you said earlier that you had him on the show, Wes Germer, mm-hmm. He reaches out to me, and I'd never talked to him in my entire life. And just one night, I literally just backed my truck in at the dock at work, and I was wrapping my day up. He calls me on Facebook, and just to talk, he saw my YouTube videos and just wanted to see, you know, what was probably feeling me out, see if I'm crazy or whatever. I don't know. But in that conversation, he said to me, you know, you should think about starting a podcast. And I was like, really? And he said, yeah. And he said that he suggested that I do it on everything. And I was like, well, it's kind of funny because I was looking into everything at that point. And he didn't know that I had background with music production and stuff. So I already knew how to produce the vocals and everything. And I was like, you know, let me give it a shot. And that's kind of how it all started for me. And then I just started looking at everything. And so my favorite right now isn't Sasquatch. Because I've kind of really drained myself mentally on trying to think of what it could be and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think my favorite right now is looking into, I guess generally, just very generically, aliens. But it's the idea of, I think these things are probably interdimensional. And, you know, you could say they're demonic. You could say that they're interdimensional beings from other planets, interdimensional beings from other parallel universes from the future. Just the Pandora's box that opens up with the idea of what these things could be. I just, you know, it gives me a whole new line of thinking. So, yeah.
Tony, how do I know I'm not talking to the doppelganger of yourself?
You don't. You don't. That's the crazy thing is that our mainstream science is now getting to the point where mainstream science is saying that, at least some people in mainstream science, I should say, are saying that there is an infinite amount of universes. There's an infinite amount of, you know, galaxies out there. And out there, there are hundreds, maybe thousands of Tony Merkels talking to Daniel. And maybe in some other dimensional universe out there, your name is Tony Ott, and I'm Daniel Merkel. Mm-hmm. You know, it's mm-hmm. like it's just like this idea that they're because I think science is starting to catch up to what God told us in the Bible, which is that He owns all of this, and it's huge. And they're starting to comprehend the idea that the universe is truly infinite. We can't even comprehend how large it is out there and how many planets are out there. And could there ever be life on there? 20 years ago, you would never have heard mainstream science say, yes, I believe that there could be other intelligent life out there. Mm-hmm. That was taboo. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, of course, right? That's what they're saying, right? And so I think that we're getting to a point where they're now truly accepting the fact that how big God is, even though they don't say it's God, mm-hmm. I say it is, and therefore they're thinking, well, mathematically speaking, there's probably an infinite amount of me's out there. And maybe there's a me out there that's incredibly stupid, and then there's one out there that's incredibly smart, genius mm-hmm. level. But they're saying that the math, and I say, well, God is that big that your math can't add up to it.
Hey, Tony, have you ever seen the movie Coherence on Netflix?
Nope. No.
Mandatory viewing. Write it down.
All right.
Coherence. Because that is exactly that movie delves right into what you say. What happens, the basic theory is, the movie is a comet comes by this dinner party. These people, eight people are having a dinner party. A comet comes by and all the power goes out. Then they walk outside and they walk down the street and it's really dark because all the power's out. And then they come up to their own house and they look in their house and it's them. And they show that this comet is merging all these universes of these same people in one spot. It's exactly like that there. And then sometimes where they go, each person is acting different. You know, some are angry, some are drunk, some, you know, this really, really, really a good, well-played movie. But, you know, one of my favorite scriptures is Proverbs 25:2, and this relates to what we're talking about. It says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search a matter out. So, you know, every topic that, you know, we talk about your favorite topic, well, what you're doing is you're searching the matters out. Yeah. And God has, and to me, it's a wonderful part of life. There are hidden things, but it's almost like God wants us to seek them. He wants us to go look. He's given us that inquisitiveness and that inner drive to find out, you know, what's going on. I think that's okay.
Yeah, I agree. And I it's funny you say that because I think it's Acts 15:8. Or 8:15. I always get it. I'm like dyslexic a little bit. But Paul is writing, and it's not the whole verse, but it's the beginning of the verse. Paul addresses and says that God, who knows all of our hearts, basically, and then he goes on to, you know, basically saying why he said that, describing what he was talking about, which was off topic of what I took it as, because that first sentence there, I was like, God knows our hearts. God knows my heart. And so, one, there is no BS meter with God. You can't BS your way through. I tried doing that, okay? It doesn't work. Like, he knows our heart. He knows our intent. But at the same time, you flip that, and you're like, if you're being true to yourself, and you're truly being honest with yourself before God, you don't have to worry about what anybody else says. Everybody out there that thinks that, you know, Tony Merkel, who is a Christian, should not be looking into these things. It's dangerous. Oh, you got to worry about yourself. Listen, God knows my heart. Okay. I don't got to worry about what you think or what anybody else thinks as far as what I'm doing. God knows my heart. And actually, God implanted my heart. Okay. Because I didn't think that this was ever going to happen. The fact of the matter is, I was actually praying to God, asking God if I should even be involved in this Bigfoot community, because a lot of the people I was seeing were saying that when they go into the woods, it's a spiritual experience for them. Well, that was a conflict of interest for me, and I was praying about it, and I felt God tell me that he put me in this community to effect change for his name. And so when I when I'm out here doing what I do and looking into these things, and there are people who are Christians who say I should never be touching this stuff, I'm like, God knows my heart, okay? And the reason why I'm out here doing this is because most of Christians in America won't do it. They're scared to, and they don't believe that the supernatural is real, because they don't even believe that the Bible is supernatural. Mm-hmm. They don't believe that the God who created them is supernatural. It's all been that the supernatural has been stripped out of the Bible. It's been stripped out of our teachings to dumb it down and make God seem normal so that everybody can relate. Well, here's the thing. Nobody can relate with God. That's why he's God. If you think you can explain God, he's not worth following. I'm sorry, I'm going off again.
Wow. I had a flashback, man. I was thinking, because you were talking about the supernatural aspect of God or of this life. I mean, and you're talking about, when you're talking about cryptids, you're talking about supernatural things anyway. Mm-hmm. But the first church I was kicked out of, yes, there have been more than one. But way early, man. I mean, I was on fire. I was soaking up the Bible, and then I heard some people on the radio. They were talking about supernatural things, and they were talking about healing and stuff. And I noticed that at my sort of Baptist church that I was just coming up through, that every time it came to something like that, the preacher would skip over it. And so I said, why aren't you talking about this scripture and this scripture and this scripture? And he goes, son, we don't talk about spooky spiritual stuff here, okay? We talk about stuff that's real. It's in the Bible. I said, well, this is in the Bible too. He said, he looked at me real strange, like I wasn't getting it. And he goes, son, maybe you'd be happier somewhere else. So I said, okay. I know you talk about just normal things, but there are some spooky supernatural stuff in the Bible, like, you know, there's one story about a guy walking on water, and in another place is about people coming up from the dead and an axe head floating, and somebody took water and turned it into wine. There's a lot of spooky supernatural stuff in there. Sure you don't want to talk about it? And so, that was the first church I was kicked out of.
I think it has a lot to do with, I think this is something that's been going on for generations, and I think probably that pastor, the basic fundamental root of his motivation for even going down that road with you is probably because he doesn't understand how to explain it. He can't fathom, he can't fit it into his biblical worldview because he's been taught a certain thing. And that's what I mean. I think this has been something that Satan himself has been implementing over decades. Satan has been trying to infiltrate the church. And the more he can strip away the supernatural aspects of God, the more people and man will have no need to follow him. Mm. Because if it's not supernatural, he's not worth following, because now he's normalized. What makes you better than me? Nothing. What makes God better than me? Nothing, because he's not supernatural. And so I think this is something that's been going on for decades. Wow. And we see the progression of it. And I think it's only going to get worse, because we have the book of Revelations to tell us it's only going to get worse.
Mm. Well, that's an excellent explanation for that, the despiritualization. And the other sort of sinister part of that has to be that's where the power is. And so it's not like he takes our power. He talks us out of it. Like, we give it up willingly and don't, you know, put it on a shelf. Because the Bible does talk about, it says, by exercise your spiritual gifts by reason of use. But if you're never using them, then your spiritual gifts aren't going to grow, and you're not going to grow in power. And then the devil's going to run roughshod over society. And gee, isn't that what's happening right now? Let's get to a few more questions for you, Tony. It says, it's kind of back to Sasquatch. It is from Paul. It says, do you think Sasquatches are interdimensional? And, listening to a lot of the shows over there at Sasquatch Chronicles, I remember one specifically where a woman was in a tree, and she said it was sort of like a predator. It blended into the trees. You know, it looked just kind of a clear chameleon type of thing. So, I mean, it could be interdimensional, but, there are a lot of animals, fish, octopus, and various things, chameleons, that blend in with their surroundings. If the Bigfoot had, through evolutionary periods, developed that thing, then they could disappear into the forest, and they'd be right there. You wouldn't know it.
Yeah, and, to be honest with you, I've seen, there's a video on YouTube of, I think it's Barb and Gabby. What happened was, there's a newbie out there looking for Bigfoot with them. They had the videos rolling. They actually came across one. The newbie saw it, though, and she sees what she saw was something black, hairy, looked like a monkey coming out of a tree. I think it was coming out of a tree. Mm-hmm. The camera was filming it, but they weren't looking at the camera. The people weren't looking at it. So the only person that saw it live was this lady who was new. They're talking about it, walking back to camp. They review the footage. There's no black, hairy anything. But what there is something that's very, very visible when you look at the footage, and especially when you slow it down, there's something cloaked coming down out of a tree.
Wow.
And so it's this idea that, these things have the ability to cloak and being interdimensional. And I say, again, off of my personal leanings, I'm not saying I'm 100% correct on this, but because I think that Sasquatch have a fallen angel origin, fallen angels being that they're supernatural beings, fallen angels, they're supernatural beings, and they have the ability to do supernatural things. Is it possible maybe that they, I guess through DNA, it's able to have been passed on through all these generations, where it's like, so for instance, I have a twin brother and sister, and we're Spanish. My brother Donnie is like 10 shades darker than me, but his twin sister Danielle is light as your hat. And so it's like they're twins, but they look completely different. Mm. And so it's the idea of this DNA and being passed on, and which DNA did you get? Clearly they both didn't get the same DNA. And I think that maybe some of these creatures actually had DNA passed on that has some type of supernatural capability. I do think that there is something to it, because, again, I've talked to so many people who've had these types of experiences. I'm like, well, something's to it then. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Sasquatch is demonic, and that's why everybody has these experiences. Or maybe everybody who says that they saw a Sasquatch cloaking is just lying or crazy. But the amount of people out there that have I personally talked to that had an experience like that, eventually I just got to say, they're not all lying and crazy. Certainly they saw something. So, that's kind of how I look at it.
Tony, here's a screen grab from your website. Now, for one thing, kudos to your awesome graphics that you have. This apparently, to me, it looks like a deer is running on 2 feet. What is going on here?
All right, so I'll tell you real quick. I had three artists, and two of the artists do movie posters for Disney and Netflix, and they listen to my show. They volunteered to help out with show art. So I've been very blessed to have three full-time artists helping with the show. I'm down to two right now because one of the artists is building his own art studio company in LA. Mm-hmm. Nate, who did that, he's the one who recently left. That is a story of this guy who is in Oregon, and when he was in high school, got taken out to a property with a new friend of his to unbury something. And I think it was probably drugs or something. He really wasn't sure what it was. But they went to this old quarry out in the middle of nowhere to retrieve something. Mm-hmm. Well, he got taken to this area, and then later on he remembered it when he was with his other friends. And he's like, hey, we could all go out drinking there and just kind of hang out. So they go out to this place, and the way he went in, there was signs saying no trespassing, violators will be shot, this is your last chance. And they come across a house, and they look through the windows, and all the furniture in the house is on the ceiling, all of it. Whoa. Everything is on the ceiling. And then wow. these car lights come on, they get chased out of there, gunshots ablazing. They're high school kids. Mm-hmm. Adrenaline rush. They wanted to do it again. They went back. And the next time they went back, same thing happened, only they were chased out of down the road. I think he was driving, or maybe he wasn't driving. I can't remember. But he said that when they were running out of there in the car, there was two deer chasing after their car on hind legs. And he's like, wow. I know it sounds crazy, but that's what I saw. And so that's the artist's depiction of two deers chasing them out on hind legs. He said they were keeping pace with the car.
Okay. And so, I don't want to see that thing.
No.
but you know what that reminds me of? I guess I'm a bit of a movie buff there. On Netflix, write this down. Okay. You may not want to watch this movie, but there's a movie called The Ritual. And it is a spooky, forest, scary as crap movie. And in it, there is an entity like this, only it's much larger. It's like a deer that walks on two legs but has a human head coming out of the chest area. It is some spooky stuff. And that's what really kind of caught my eye there when I saw that deer running on there. And I said, well, man, I'm going to have to put that graphic up on the website. Let's get to another question here. It says from Ted White, how can supernatural spirit beings intermingle with natural physical beings and produce offspring?
I think that, well, we have things in the Bible that point to the ability of what angels can do. So in a good sense, where you have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego get thrown in the furnace, and King Nebuchadnezzar, they're like, we threw three people in there. There's four in there now. And so in that story, you have a manifestation of an angel to protect them from the fire, interdimensional being manifesting, to the point that they didn't say it was an angel. They said there was another person in there. Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot, he's hosting two angels for dinner. And this is the biggest one I think I lean towards, outside of Paul saying that to always be hospitable, because you never know when you're in the midst of an angel. Well, you could always say that he was referring to angels being in the room, I just can't see them. Or he could be saying what he knew to be true, because Paul was a student of the word and he knew about Sodom and Gomorrah, and he knew that there were angels that came into town, had dinner with Lot, consumed food, looked human enough that the perversion of that town wanted to have sex with them. They had the homosexual ambitions, and they wanted, and Lot's like, no, you can have my daughters. And like, no, we want the men. And so they wow. believed that these were men. So they were able to transform their bodies to look like men. We know they sat down and they consumed food like men. And so if angels can transform their bodies physically to look like man, and they can transform their bodies to actually consume food, then my logical progression is they could probably transform their bodies to be able to have sex and have offspring. And people say, well, angels don't have a sex. They don't have a sex in heaven, their heavenly estate.
Right.
They're no longer in their heavenly estate. They are now here doing the will of Satan. And so I think it's two different things here. God didn't want the angels to fall, yet they did. I think that when you're in the heavenly estate, they had a certain limitations, but I think when they stepped outside of that, they took on their own free will, which was to do what they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Now, see, that might just answer the question. Being able to materialize into another form. I have taken some heat on this question because I've asked a few guests about the Nephilim, the mating of the godlike creatures with humans, but they've always described the Nephilim as the sons of God, as these giant creatures. And I've taken some heat, Tony, by saying, well, how's that plumbing work if the guy's, 30, 40 feet tall? Now, I've taken some heat and said, I'm not supposed to ask that question. Well, I'm just thinking, we are talking about co-mingling, we're talking about, impregnation here. I mean, we should know a little. But now what you're saying makes sense, that they simply just transform into the applicable size. And you actually said in the first hour when you're talking about the transformation of entities, male versus female, whatever the demon wanted to, however they want to go. So that makes sense there. All right, let's get to this question here. Tony, what do you think about, this is from the Rebel Shepherd, what do you think about different colors of orbs? Do the colors mean anything? And Tony, have you seen any orbs?
All right, so the first question, I don't know. I don't know what the different colors are. There's certainly different colors, orange, blue, green, white, red. But I don't know what the significance is. I don't know. The orb thing is something that I have a hard time just understanding. Like, I don't know what they are. And when you get them on video, you're like, okay, could it have been a bug? All that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't know. But I have seen some things. I was in Salt Fork State Park in 2015. It was about midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. I was hiking with three other guys. And Salt Fork State Park in Ohio is a Bigfoot hotspot. In fact, recently, like a couple weeks ago, there was a video came out that said a guy was in Salt Fork and he's filmed a Bigfoot. I don't think it was a Bigfoot. But we're walking, and on the right side of me is this very steep hill, and we're on a very narrow path. And we're walking parallel to the hill, or horizontal. Mm-hmm. And to my left is a steep drop-off with a stream. And so we're walking single file. And I look to my right up the hill, and I see this light in the canopy inside the woods pulsating, and it's changing colors, and it's not moving. It was going from a green to a white to an orange. It's like very smooth blending of colors pulsating. And it would go out, and then it would go on, it would go out, it would go on. And I said to the guys, what is that? And we all looked, and mind you, I'm with all these Bigfoot guys, and a lot of these guys didn't believe it. They're like, Bigfoot's just a monkey running around the woods. We don't believe in ghosts, demons, all that stuff. And so they look up and they're like, huh. And they just keep going. I'm like, well, what are we going to do about it? And they're like, they wanted to ignore it even happened. Mm-hmm. For the most part. Today they'll talk about it because I've kind of rose as somebody who talks about this stuff openly, and I've kind of encouraged other people to do the same thing. But the most intimate experience I've had was I was in my apartment and this is when me and my wife, probably 5 years into our marriage, and I would see things out of the corner of my eye. Something was walking from my bedroom into my bathroom down the hallway. I'd be like watching the TV, and I could see it in my peripheral walking down the hallway. And it would go from the bathroom to the bedroom. Sometimes my wife would be back there, and I'd say, hey, did you walk to the bedroom? No. Sometimes I'd be home by myself. But it was always when I was sitting on the chair watching the TV, I could just see it on my peripheral, and I could stare down the hallway, nothing. And so I didn't have fancy equipment. I just got my wife's laptop out. I turned on the video recorder, and one night when I went to sleep, I turned it on and had it facing at my feet. And I woke up the next morning to go to work. It was like 5 o'clock in the morning. I just wanted to skim through the video real quick. And within the first 10 minutes, I see something pop up on video. And it was just as really fast. It was a red flash of light at the bottom of my bed at my feet. Just a very small, tiny red blip. Very fast. I showed my wife. She saw it. And we're like, that's weird. But I was like, I'm not filming anymore. I'm done filming. I don't want to see it. I don't want to know. And then I was doing an interview about, I'd say, 6 months ago. And it's probably about 10 o'clock at night. And I'm talking to somebody about their creepy story or something. And my wife texts me and says that she just saw a red light in the bedroom and next to the TV on my dresser, and it shot off to the right real fast and left a light trail.
Wow.
And I was like, well, I'm in the middle of an interview, so good luck with that. You know, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to tell you. And I didn't think much of it. I really didn't. And I think that's part of the problem. I think there's a problem where I become numb to this stuff. It not a whole lot scares me, and nothing really catches me off guard. Mm-hmm. And so, like, normally maybe a guy would be like, I got to go in my bedroom, see my wife's okay, pray over the house. I was just like, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then probably about 2 months later, I go into bed late, and my son's laying in the bed with my wife. And so I'm trying to curl up next to him, and I pulled the covers up over me. So they're up to my shoulder, or no, they're on my hip. And it was like a pile of covers, like probably a foot off my hip. And somewhere between my hip and the pile of covers and my eyeballs, a red light flashed. And so it's like within like a foot or two from my face, and it flashes on and then shoots off and leaves a light trail. And I was like, holy crap. That's what my wife was talking about, and that looks exactly like what I saw in that video back in our old apartment. And wow. That's when I was just like, and to this day, I'm just like, I don't know. I saw it. My wife saw it. We had it on video. I tried finding that video. I can't find it anywhere. But I don't know what it is, but it's something. I don't know.
We were talking in the first hour that you've, and we both have really talked to guests that, and really, it's a lot of shows, especially with sort of a, maybe a, dare I use the word religious orientation, or at least some mooring, some foundation in, you know, religious teaching or belief. If you have a witch or a warlock on there, but now you've had them on, and you say, maybe not necessarily them, but you hear somebody talking, and you know, it does something like say that it goes maybe from an interview to think, I need to move this interview to something more than just. Yeah. So sort of getting information out. We've got a person here who is in real trouble. They don't even know it. Has that happened to you, and how have you dealt with it?
Yeah, a couple of times, and two are popping out of my head. The first one was a long time ago. I'd probably say within our first year, there was a guy who, as we were talking, it just became very apparent to me that he had some serious demonic influences active in his life. Like, I mean, like active as in that moment while we were talking active.
Wow.
And I don't know if I've ever even talked about this publicly. I forget a lot of things until people ask me questions. But that interview never aired because we, at that point I was just learning a lot of stuff. And so I didn't know how to kind of make it out into a show if I wanted to. So I just stopped the interview and I talked directly with this guy. And I was telling, I forget all the details, but I was telling him basically what, I felt was going on in that moment. And, he was agreeing with me, and he said that he was getting scared, and you could hear in his voice was shaking and quivering. Wow. He's crying. And, I prayed with him, and I basically did what I tell everybody else to do. It's the only thing I know because of my worldview and how I view the world. I just tell people, you got to pray it away in the name of Jesus. And what I always kind of tack on the end is, not only, cast something out in the name of Jesus, but I also say, and go where Jesus tells you to go, because I don't want to try casting something out of my house and going into my neighbor's house or my cat downstairs. So just go where Jesus tells you to go and leave it in God's hands. And so that was one time. And I don't know how that guy ever turned out. He never talked to me again. I did what I thought I had to do in that moment. But there was another time that I actually aired this, and I actually aired this as a member show probably about 2 months ago. It was this young guy, probably in his mid-20s, and we sat down to talk about his paranormal experiences, and it became very apparent that he just needed to talk to me. And this guy was struggling with drug addiction, a lot of problems, suicide, and it just turned into, and I'm not a counselor. I'm a guy who cares about people. Right. I have a podcast and I drive a truck. Like, I'm just a normal guy. And so I just talked to him like he's a normal guy. I'm a normal guy. And I just kind of coached him through this stuff for like probably like an hour and a half. And there's several times he was crying. And I held on to that interview for a very long time. And after that interview was over, he was very grateful. I sent him the audio so that he could have it, because I said to him, I wasn't sure if I was ever going to air it. I even said it during the actual recording. I said, I don't think this is ever going to air, man. I'm just talking to you, man to man. And he even said during the recording, he's like, man, it's okay. I just needed to talk to you, as he's crying. And, I held on to the interview for a long time, and I reached out to him and I said, hey man, you know, I just feel like I should air this. I feel like somebody needs to hear it. And he said that was fine. So I released it as a members episode. And, but yeah, those are two times where, you know, one was more demonic and the other one was a guy who just, he was lost. He was just a lost kid. I say kid because I think he was in his early 20s. Mm-hmm. And he just needed somebody who was a little further along in life, who could relate to him and just be honest with him. Mm-hmm. I don't call punches. I don't, you know, oh, it's okay. You know, I'm like, dude, you're a junkie. You need to stop. You know, things like that. I didn't call him a junkie. I was calling his friends junkies. Yeah. But like, it's just be real with people, because there's so many, like, we live in a society where everybody wants to have a safe space and they're worried about everybody else's feelings, to the point that society can't heal itself. We can't heal ourselves if we're always worrying about offending somebody else. I mean, look at coronavirus. I mean, it's supposed to be COVID-19 now, because that's the most unoffensive way. We're facing a possible pandemic and we're worried about hurting people's feelings about what we call a disease. Like, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And so I think that sometimes people just need to hear truth for what truth is. And, you know, that's what I did. Mm. So, yeah.
Wow. That's happened several times on this show. And, I'll just be going along a regular interview, and all of a sudden it just, like, I'll see it, or my spirit say, you know, stop, you know, change course. Now, and interestingly enough, I'm really blessed with a lot of great people that's in the live chat, because a lot of the more astute ones, more spiritually sensitive, see that and they know what's going on. And I don't say what's going on. I just change course. Some people are kind of like, you know, they show, express a little bit of, you know, confusion there, but others pick right up on it, and they almost like they join with me you know, praying for them or putting words in there, and particularly a lot of love comes out through there. So I'm really blessed that way. But you know, that's when we, you know, and that's really the way I want to walk, and I know that's the way you want to walk. Well, we're doing these things that we do, there's this larger purpose that we always have, and we've got to be sensitive to the spirit, what the spirit says, like this unction, you know, to be ready to change course immediately when God tells you to, or the spirit tells you to. That's, and I'm just wondering, you know, I think some of the great spiritual people that have ever been, have been able to exercise their senses to where they can do that, you know, and I want to be closer to that. And some of my search for truth, having various guests on various topics, is to find out if somebody is getting close to that, or can put a little light on my path, or maybe I can put a little light on their path as we go down the path of life. I think there's always two paths you can go by. Sounds like Led Zeppelin, but see, there you go. There's a little truth there now. Come on. There's a little truth there. But you know, if you're aware of what's going on in a larger sense around you, man, it's a much better life. And, you know, God, all these mysteries. I love looking for mysteries, and I reading the about page of yourself on your website there, and it shows you, it talks about you, how that you are searching these matters out, you know, and I think, as you do that, there are people follow along. But of course, I think the biggest role we could have is to encourage others to start their journey wherever they're at. And, you know, and they've already probably had some experiences they don't know how to deal with, but those could have been the foundations that was already been laid in their life, so they can have a more spiritual life.
Yeah.
How does that
yeah.
sound?
I agree with you. It's just, you know, I think that we get one shot at this life. And the community that I deal with, some people would want to argue on that point, but I don't believe in reincarnation. We get one shot at this. And if you just take that idea of we get one shot at this life, just think of it on the fullest extent, spiritually, physically, mentally, like, we get one shot at this, and every second that goes by, we can't get back. And mm-hmm. every second that is to come, we're not guaranteed. So we need to stop living our lives like we're guaranteed tomorrow, and that we can fix yesterday, or we can go back and undo everything that we've done, and just live in this moment to the fullest extent we can. And that statement goes on to everybody. Whether you're a Christian or not. For me, as a Christian, the fullest extent would be how can I bring most glorification to my Savior? Well, that's a loaded gun right there. But even if you're not a Christian, if you're just a person and you don't believe in God, but how can you live your life to the fullest extent? You know, like, stop pretending like you can redo. This isn't a video game. This is real life. You can't redo anything. You're not going to have an avatar that comes back tomorrow to redo it mm-hmm. with the knowledge you have of today. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Stop acting like it's going to happen and truly live life to the fullest extent right now. And that means getting yourself right, whether it's spiritually, mentally, physically, or whatever.
Mm. Wow. Hey, all right. Unction of the Spirit, man. I just got one. Somebody needs to hear this. It's a nugget of truth I picked up through the week. It is that your past, what happened to you in your past, it's a lesson, not a sentence.
Did I lose you?
I don't know. Can you hear me now?
I heard your path and then it was done.
Okay. I see the had an demonic interference right there. No.
Right there.
A little nugget of truth for somebody out there, and I'll say it again so you can hear it, that what happened to you in your past is a lesson, not a sentence. Because you talk about you can't get that time back. Some people are saying that, well, what happened to me was a sentence. No, it's not. It's a lesson. Move on. God's got greater purposes for you. And that lesson is part of what's going to get you there. All right. Here's a question for you. Could humans have angelic souls?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Well, now there are, you know, the easy one is be careful to entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unawares. Now, again, that goes back to almost like a doppelganger, but I meant, you know, a copy, but maybe a person who appears to be human, but it's not. Now, yeah. have you met people that you sensed are either way angelic or demonic, but not really human?
I wouldn't say demonic. I mean, I've met people who I felt were possessed by demons. I think that they're human. I just don't think what was in them was human. Angelic, I can't say I have, but my grandfather had told me stories. My grandfather was kind of like a traveling evangelist. He was a blue-collar worker guy, but on weekends he traveled all over the place preaching. And one day, him and his Bible group that he was with, they were planning on going to a town for a revival weekend, and they were going to do, back in those days, it was like the big tent revivals. And they were unwelcomed in the town. The town did not want them there, but they went anyways. And there were rumors of people of that town, the men were going to come and storm their camp that night and destroy everything. And so after the service is over, the guys, my grandfather and all the other men stayed behind to just kind of confront the men if they showed up, to just mm-hmm. kind of deter them. Not that they wanted to fight, just, you know, guys, let's calm down and talk, be human about this. And they came down this hill. They saw like a car or two coming down this hill, and it gets to a certain point and the car stops and idles, and it's just sitting there. And the guy, my grandfather said, you know, they were standing there looking at these cars and thinking, what are these guys going to do? Are they going to make a move? What are they doing? And you just see these cars back out of the driveway and they leave. And then a little bit later, more cars come down. Like, I mean, more as in more in numbers. Like, there's probably like four now. Mm-hmm. And again, they stop at a certain point and they idle and they back out and leave. They do it like two or three times. And then nothing happened. Like, the guys never came back in their cars and the night went on and that was it. And so they go into town the next day and they're getting, you know, supplies and stuff, food. And I guess he said it must have been the talk of the town, where apparently these guys came with every intent to destroy the place. And every time they came down that hill, they stopped, because what they saw standing next to my grandfather and the men he was with were angels, tall, gigantic angels standing there protecting the camp. And it scared the men and they wouldn't go any further. And so that's my grandfather's mm-hmm. story that he shared with me. Now, my grandfather has passed, and I actually share that story a couple of times on the show. Like, I had the mind to record my grandfather speaking that stuff to me back in like 2011, wow. not knowing I was going to have a podcast one day. Wow. And my grandfather also, I'll just say this real quick. My grandfather also had been in situations where he prayed for people and they were healed on the spot, legs growing to be the right length and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. That's where I have a history in my family of the supernatural aspects of God. And that's why I am what I am, because I have people in my own family who I trust that tell me, yes, I've never seen that. But my grandfather, who I loved dearly and trusted, he told me that on his deathbed. Wow. And so, yeah, incredible stuff.
Wow. And that's awesome. I mean, I remember an aunt who one time who had just this aura about, if you have problems, that's the person you want praying for you. Some people seem like they've got a direct connection. Now, mm-hmm. I can't say that I've got there yet, but I want to get there. You know, I want to get there. Here's a question for you. It says, if Jesus talks to you, how do you know it's him?
That's a good question too. Because I guess what the question would be, you know, is how do you know it's not Satan or the devil, right? I don't know how I can describe it. I've felt demonic oppression, which feels very negative. I've never been possessed, but I've felt the oppression, because we're spiritual beings. I mean, we are. And so when we're being attacked spiritually, you feel it. You just do. And on that same note, when your creator is speaking to you spiritually, you just feel it. Like, I don't know how to describe it other than you just know. And here's another thing for you. So the feelings that I get when I feel the Holy Spirit speaking directly to me are usually confirmed down the road. Mm-hmm. I was driving my truck one day praying, and I felt God speak to me and tell me that he wanted me to stay in this Bigfoot community. Right. So I told you that story. But another time, I'm not even praying. I'm just driving my truck, probably listening to the music or whatever. And out of nowhere, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, one day you're going to work with Wes Germer. And I'd never talked to the guy. I'd listened to his podcast, but I'd never talked to him. And so I went home, and I was already in the practice of doing this, because there's been other times where I felt like this spirit speaking to me, but I didn't act on it, or I didn't say anything to anybody, because I was like, I don't know what that is. I don't know. And so I've learned over time that when you feel that, that's God mm-hmm. speaking to you. Mm-hmm. And so I went home and I told my wife, I said, listen, I don't know what this is about, but God told me today that one day I'm going to be working with Wes. And so she's like, really? Yeah. A month later, Wes calls me. And now him and I are like best friends. I mean, we talk to each other multiple times a week. I was just talking to him earlier today. He's doing great. So, I mean, wow. But, you know, I wouldn't say we work together per se. I mean, we have separate podcasts, but we're very intertwined in each other's lives.
Wow. That is awesome.
It's that feeling though. Like I just get this feeling, and over time I learned that when I get that feeling, that's God, because I learned from my mistakes, where it was like I didn't act on that feeling before, and it turns out it was a God thing. Mm-hmm. And so when I get that feeling, I just know it's God. That's the best way I can describe it. Mm.
Yeah, that's kind of like when you're in a groove. It seemed like I heard somebody say that one time, that if God speaks to you, if you act, or he'll say something, he'll say a word. I think it got down to this. He'll say a word, if you respond to that word, then he'll speak a sentence. And then if you respond to that sentence, then he'll speak a paragraph. You know, like you can get into that zone. And it seems like there might be, you know, we talk about thin places, or, you know, like even a Skinwalker Ranch for that matter. But there are places that where in your life where it seems like God's right there. And if you kind of get in that, then he like lingers a little longer with you. But if you kind of shun it and say, ah, it's just me, I'm just, don't worry about it, I got to get to Walmart, you know, kind of put it off, then it gets a little more distant. But there are times, I think, if we just respond quickly, I mean, I don't know if that can be an everyday thing, or a once a week thing, or a month thing, or a year thing. You know, there could be this time lapse. I don't know. I'm still searching to find out from people. Yeah. If those times when you feel like you're in the dry desert, you know, can you get into the waterfall of the spirit, you know, and live your life that way? You know, that's where I'd like to go, but
it's so hard when you're in the desert spiritually to see any end to it. When I went to that guy's house and I said I got my butt handed to me spiritually that day, I don't understand it, and to this day I don't understand it. But that day I started feeling this spiritual gap between me and God. And it was a slow progression, but I would wake up in the morning, I'd sit down to do my devotions like I always did, and I went from feeling like I was eating a feast every morning to feeling for like weeks that, God, where are you? I don't hear, like, I don't feel you. I don't hear you. And over that time, I started feeling like I was in this desert spiritually, where I was just like, I never lost my faith. Like, I knew who I believed Jesus Christ to be, but I just didn't feel God the way I did at one time. And it was all from that one day. And I don't understand how it happened. I don't understand why it happened. I don't understand any. That's what I mean. Like, I think God's very complex, and I think the spiritual realm is way more complex than any of us can comprehend. And I think that we undersell the power of the enemy. The enemy is not a pushover. Yes, we have the nuke. We have God. We have Jesus Christ. We have the ultimate weapon, but they got weapons too. And we walk around acting like they got nothing but, you know, slingshots. Mm-hmm. It's just not the case. And so that day, something happened to me spiritually, and I went for a long time without feeling like I was hearing from God, where up to that day, I was feeling like it was happening on like almost like a weekly basis. I was like just waiting for the next time God sat down in my truck next to me, and it got to the point where I was just like, I don't feel God. I don't know why. So yeah, it happens.
Hmm. So, we've got this logo back here. Speaking of trucks, what's going on with this?
Hammer Lane Legends. Oh man. So, actually the very first, we're dropping two episodes for the very first, day on Tuesday, this coming week, March 3rd, 2020, mm-hmm. Hammer Lane Legends is a similar format to the confessionals, as in, it's long form discussion. It's me and my dad are hosting it, and we're talking to people who drive for a living, mm-hmm. Truckers, obviously, cause me and my dad are both truck drivers. But we'll be talking to police officers, EMTs, bus drivers, anybody who drives for a living, and they'll be coming on to talk about their wild experiences out on the road, whether it's being stranded in the middle of a desert to a blizzard to helping a hitchhiker that went sideways or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stories out there. In fact, on Tuesday when we launch our first two episodes, the first episode is me and my dad, the first half, talking about our experience. It's just, you know, general talk, how we got into trucking and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then then the second half is an interview that I did with a guy 2 years ago when I first started thinking about this podcast. And he actually is in Canada, and he was coming across a bridge and saw a guy jump off the bridge right in front of him. And then the second interview is a guy who, and I didn't know this was a thing, but apparently civilians can volunteer to be civilian drivers for the military in overseas. And so this guy was a civilian driver in Iraq. So he wasn't military, but he literally was with the military everywhere they went. So he hauled tankers, fuel through the desert. So he was driving over landmines that were rigged to blow, driving underneath overpasses that were rigged to blow. He had grenades thrown at his truck that exploded. Snipers shooting at him. Somebody threw a 2x4 at his truck when he was driving through a city, and the 2x4 went right through the windshield. Just dramatic experiences. And so he comes on to share that stuff. And so, yeah, Hammer Lane Legends, it's all about the legends from the road.
Wow. And, you know, I wish you well on that, man, because I think everyone knows that truckers have seen some stuff now.
Yeah.
And the stories that they've got, what a venue. I'm looking forward to that thing just bursting forward, man. When it starts going through the trucker lanes, instead of people tuning in to coast, they're going to call Hammer Lane, and they're going to tell their stories, what they saw, you know, because truckers coast to coast, you know, they've seen some stuff, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's got to be a lot of near death experiences too, with, you know, being out on the road so many miles and various things like that. And then, of course, you've got your podcast, and then, by the way, where can people listen to either one of these?
Yeah. So, the confessionals, you can go to theconfessionalspodcast.com, and you can get everything right there. Or if you want to listen on an app, you can, listen on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts, my show's on there. And, Hammer Lane Legends will be on, it's already on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, different platforms like that. You can go ahead and subscribe on both those platforms, all those platforms for both those shows. But yeah, every Tuesday, the Confessionals comes out with a new show. And on Thursdays, we drop a member only show on the website. And we're actually coming out with an app here within the next 6 weeks that will really be cool, because members will be able to log into the app and actually listen to member shows straight through the app and not have to go to the website. Right. And then Hammer Lane Legends will probably be Right now we're releasing it on this coming Tuesday, but I think typically speaking, we're going to be releasing it on every Monday, mm-hmm. a new show with a trucker coming on, sharing his experiences.
Wow. That's going to be awesome. I mean, that is fresh and new. I can't wait. That should take the internet by storm. Now you also have a web store, and I wanted to ask you about this right here. What is going on? What is this, Tony?
Oh yeah. That's the,
looks cool as hell. Whatever.
That's the beard oil. So that's actually the new scent, this new scent that we have. So, I mean, I have it right here. It dropped on Friday. Because of the beard and everything, like I said earlier, there's a guy that listens to the show that has a company, and he does really good marketing, mm-hmm. really good graphic design, and he's really good with the scents. And mm-hmm. so I teamed up with him, and we have, I think, 4 or 5 scents right now. There's Hatman, Sasquatch, Yeti, Dogman, and Spectre.
Wow.
Yeah. And so people can get beard oil and beard balm through me now, too. And this is great products. Like, I used to, before I was podcasting, I had a really giant beard, and I did product reviews for different companies. That's what I'm always been an entrepreneur. I just do things, mm-hmm. and I see what sticks, you know? So, I know what good product is. And yeah. so when this guy first reached out to me, I was like, yeah, go ahead, send me some samples. But I wasn't expecting much. Like, I actually let the package sit on the counter for days. And I finally opened it up and I looked at it. I was like, wow, this is actually really good graphic design marketing. Most of them are really crappy. And I was like, all right, well, let me smell this first. And so I sniffed it and I was like, holy crap. Like, I was like, this is really good. So I was a big fan. And so I was more than willing to work with them. And I always wanted to have my own brand anyway, so now I do.
I love it. Hey, put that back on the camera. Let me look at that again.
All right, so this is the balm.
Okay.
And this is the oil. These are the Hatman.
Yeah, wow.
And let's see.
What else you got? Let's bring it out, man. What do you got?
Well, these aren't mine, but these are his. Uh-huh. This one is called Cookies and Cream, and it smells like cookies and cream.
Wow.
okay. This one is the lager. It's a very manly smell.
Ooh, yeah.
And this one is called Morning Joe, and he designed it to look like a Starbucks, and it smells like coffee.
Wow, there you go.
He does tons of different scents, like bubblegum. He's very good. His company is called AnointedAK.com. He's a Christian himself. He actually lives in Alaska, mm-hmm. and that's why it's AK. So it's AnointedAK.com, and he has mm-hmm. tons of scents. Great guy.
Would that beard bomb work for a really cool mustache?
Oh, for sure, my man. Sure. Well, my mustache has been getting really kind of out of hand, so I started introducing it to wax a little bit to hold it in place. But I use balm on my beard and mustache every day because it really kind of helps hold it in place without going too crazy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. In fact, I have ladies buying the oils for their hair.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm bald. I don't know. But, like, apparently some ladies like putting oil in their hair. Mm-hmm. I guess it does something for their hair. Mm. And I've had ladies buying my beard oils for their hair.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool.
Outstanding. Now, all this, you just go right to your website, which is we have a link in your bio section that can be an entryway to the trucker site too, as well. And your web store.
Yeah. So the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, you can get all my podcasts for the confessionals. You can get the store, just go to the store tab. You can get all the stuff on there. Member section, all that stuff. For Hammer Lane Legends, I don't have anything on there right now for Hammer Lane Legends. I will, though. I'll probably have like a page that links to my other website.
Yeah.
But Hammer Lane Legends, I own the domain, and the website will probably be going live tomorrow. I've already built it. I just haven't felt like paying for it because the show's not up. So I didn't want to pay the $250 and have the website just sitting there. So tomorrow we'll be paying for it.
Awesome. Tony Merkel, it's been a real pleasure to have you on the broadcast. How'd you like it?
I loved it. It's been great. I'm the talker. I'm a conversationalist. And so anytime I get to sit down and just talk and not have to do anything, like I didn't have to do anything. I just showed up and started talking. It's been great. I loved it.
Okay. All right. Can we have you back on sometime?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And certainly, man, once that Harmon Lane podcast gets going, man, and the stories start developing, we'll have you back and you share some of those with us. Tony Merkel, I appreciate you coming on the program.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
All right. Good evening then.
Bye.